everyone. Welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. My name again is Natalie Carlisle. I'm so glad you're here. And today, Max is with me. So Max is a painting by a local artist here in Bethany Bay. And John O'Donohue is his name. And he rescues cats and cows and animals that you can't even imagine. And he and his wife take care of them, and then he paints them. And so this is one of his most favorite paintings, Max. And so he's joining me today. Anyway, let's talk about Max has a cool name. That name gives Max power. He's not just like a rescue cat because he's got a name and it's Max. And actually so many people around the world know about this painting because Max is kind of a famous cat because he's so dang cool. I mean, look at him. He's awesome. So because Max has a name, we treat Max differently than we would perhaps a nameless cat. Are you with me so far? So there is such power in names. And since the dawn of time, human beings have needed to name things. We have stories about Adam and Eve naming things. We have stories about how nothing exists until the name is present. And there is a power there. And psychologists have taken a look at what is our deal with naming. As a human species, we want to name things. It helps us for many reasons. It helps us identify things. It helps us have a conversation about things. So there's an understanding that comes because things have names. So do places and so do people. We also want to name things because it can be symbolic. It can help us learn how to simplify big concepts when we give them a name. You know, Einstein's theory of relativity, it has a name and it's this big complex idea, but because it has a name, it's a little easier to understand and to converse with another human being about. So naming things has been powerful historically for many, many reasons. But what we're going to talk about today is beyond those reasons. There are so many reasons why you will use names. I'm suggesting that you're going to want to use this power of naming things to create deeper relationship with your life, to create and tame those wild emotions that can sometimes hijack us, and also to use naming to reclaim parts of yourself that have gone dormant, and you need them now. You need them now. So let's dive in. One of the things that we can do in naming things is beginning to name the things that are around us. And I'm going to give you a good example of this. My daughter Kaya shows up a lot in this episode because she loves to name things. From the time she was little, she would name every single stuffed animal in her room. And there were a lot of stuffed animals in her room. Even the tiniest little stuffed animal had a name. And it gave this stuffed animal importance in her life. And it gave us importance. Like, it made that stuffed animal important to us too, because we had to take care of that stuffed animal as if it were a named member of our family. When we name things like stuffed animals, like plants, like cars, we begin to take care of them differently. We begin to take care of them differently and relate to them in a more intimate way. And so this is the one reason why we want to start thinking about what deserves a name in my life. Are there things that I want to take? Like, do you need to name your bank account so that you can take care of Charlie every week? Like, Charlie needs some attention. You got to go check out your bank account. Know what's coming in. Know what's going out. Are there things in your world, like your kitchen, that you need to name because you need to take care of it a little more intimately? You need to become aware and more mindful of something in your life because it is important to you. So this is one of the first things that we can do. We can look around and think, okay, what do I want to develop a more intimate relationship with in my life? Is it the painting of Max? What is this? And then you can give it a name and it starts to take on a life and it becomes something that you want to care about. The second reason that we may want to start naming things in our lives is when we turn this naming skill on into our emotional lives. We have such rich emotional texture inside of us, and yet we have very limited language around our feelings, our thoughts, our moods. And so when we begin to understand that our feelings also have names, you can research it. You can Google something called a feelings wheel and get a total of, 120 or more names for different emotional experiences. This is powerful because we can become overwhelmed or hijacked by our emotions simply because we don't know the name of them. And it feels like something foreign has taken over our body and we can't control ourselves. We're just out of control. And I'm going to give you an example. So here's real life history. I have two grocery store stories about today. It's so weird. But the first grocery store story that I have is when Kaya again was young. And Keller was old enough to be in school, but Kaya, my youngest, was still home with me. So we would go to the grocery store and she was old enough to walk. And one day I turn around after looking at some cereal boxes and she's gone. And I don't know if you've had this experience as a parent, but it is a feeling that is indescribable at first. The bottom of my heart fell out. The bottom of my stomach fell out. I almost felt like I was going to wet my pants or something horrible like that because everything just drained out of me. The blood felt like it drained out of my face. I felt like I was going to faint. I started seeing stars. It was a terrible, overwhelming fear that started to take over me and hijack me. And then I couldn't think. I froze. I just freaked out and then I froze. And meanwhile, my daughter's missing. This is not effective. This is not a place that you want to be to solve a problem, right? Is frozen in the grocery store in the cereal aisle while your child is missing. And then I remembered I was a shaman and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And I realized I was terrified that someone had come right up behind me without me knowing it and snatched up my daughter and horrible things were occurring. And by naming this fear, I am afraid of stranger danger is essentially what I was afraid of. But giving that a name, there was something about that started to calm down all the RPMs inside me. And I took a deep breath to just reinforce that in the naming. And I realized, okay, I'm afraid that someone has snatched my daughter. It's likely that I would have heard them come up behind me. Maybe not, but maybe. And in that moment, new possibilities came up. Now, I started to get more rational thought. I can't say that I completely recovered my rational thought in that moment, but by naming my fear and taking that breath, I thought, okay, I'm just going to call out her name and see if she's just wandered off a little bit. And I yelled, Kaya. And she like popped her head around the candy aisle and was like, what? And no problem. We had no problem. She wanted to go get some Reese's Pieces. I can't blame her. But in that moment, I was able to get back to grace, get back to my rational thought instead of caught in my fear brain in the back. And so the power of naming our emotions can be huge. Sometimes our bodies will shake and tears will come out. We won't know what's happening. And it's actually joy or excitement or happiness. And for some of us, those feelings are pretty strange at first because perhaps we've lived in a family where we haven't learned how to feel happy. It happens. And many of us right now are in the grips of so much fear because it's getting pumped to us all the time that even coming into right relationship or awareness with joy, peace, calm. Some people mistake those feelings for having something wrong with them. Joy and peace, calm. Like, oh, if you're not completely riled up all the time, there must be something wrong with you. Well, or is it just peace? Easy breezy, peacey peacey. So that's the second way you might want to use naming, is to start naming these emotions so that you can tame them. When we name something, we begin to tame them, and not tame them like you're mine, but tame them in a way to become more intimate with them. When we tame or name something and we can tame that fear, we bring that fear closer to us so that we can start to look at it, name it, become friends with it, understand it, look at it, study it, and learn from it. Which brings us back to our cognitive thinking and our critical thinking skills that we need for solving problems. So you can name it in order to tame those wild emotions that kind of course through our lives and can hijack us. And the third thing that I'm excited to talk about naming is that you can name aspects of yourself that you want to call to the forefront again. So we just had Dharma School this weekend, and there's a process that we go through in terms of soul retrieval, where to integrate that soul retrieval, we start to name it and work with it and get to know it and become friends with this element of ourselves that had been dormant. And so one of the women in class discovered that she had dormant inside of her, like this goddess, this archetype of a goddess, somebody that's just literally larger than life, a deity who can create, who can destroy, with so much power at her fingertips, and is revered for her beauty and wisdom and grace in the world. So in reclaiming this goddess, and she ended up naming which goddess it was, it gave her something inside to identify with and become more intimate with. So again, in naming something, we begin to bring that thing in front of us so that we can converse with it and understand it more intimately. So she's going home now and learning how to live as if a goddess was living in her body. What would the goddess do today? How would she go to the grocery store? What would she wear? How would she walk? All those things, because she's bringing that element of her alive. We had another person that was reclaiming an element of themselves that they named a warrior, a luminous warrior, the warrior that didn't need to fight anymore. The warrior who could lay down their armor. Think about how powerful that archetype is. The warrior that can lay down their armor because the fight is over. It's time for peace. Time for living. In this reclamation and naming this warrior, this woman is learning how to be at peace with the world around her and not fight every single thing, not fight every single person, not see the betrayals and the cause to arms, the call to arms in every news story. She can read the news now, understand that there are those who have to fight right now, but that her fight, for at least for the moment, is done. Her fight is done. And if she's called to fight again, that warrior will be there. The warrior will be there in all the ways, in peace times, in war times, in reflective times, in teaching times, that warrior will be there. So when we start to name these elements of ourselves, it can be really powerful. And so this is one of the things that I really wanted to share with you, is that we can name things and we can name elements of ourselves that we want to bring forward, like the trusting part of ourselves. The part of ourselves that can speak out, the part of ourselves that is comfortable making videos, the part of ourselves that can be silly and goofy and totally nuts and enjoy life and not worry so much about getting it right. We can call out these parts of ourselves by name and bring them to life. And I want to share a personal story with you to close up our podcast today about why I am changing my name from Natalie Shope Griffin to Natalie Shope Carlisle. So here's the story behind that. For most of my young life, you know, I was rebelling in the sacred rebellion against my family because I wanted to grow. I wanted to go on adventures. I wanted to do things differently than they did. And so, like many people, I kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. I kind of threw away a lot of respect for my family or understanding of my family because I was going to go do it better, smarter, faster, younger, hipper, whatever. Oh, the follies of youth are so delicious. But it's a very critical stage, that phase of sacred rebellion. And in my sacred rebellion, I began to realize that, wow, there was actually wisdom there for me. So when it came time for me to get married, I ended up taking my maiden name of Shope and making it my middle name because I did not want to lose that foundation. I did not want to lose that element of who I am, which is my mother and father's child. And what a great job they did raising me in so many aspects. And so I became Natalie Shope Griffin when I got married and I took on my husband's name. And I loved the name Griffin because A, it is like a mythological being that has wings and talons and a lion's head and all these things. And so to be a griffin felt really magical and powerful to me. And I love taking on that last name. In addition, adding that to the Shope of my foundation of being with nature and having all that love, it was a tremendous combination for me. And of course, my kids have that name. An entire griffin family has that name and they're amazing people. And it also, like, these people were the griffins that actually tossed tea into the bay at the Boston Tea Party. And so this is like a rebellious spirit of a family that I just loved having that a connection to through the name. And so over the years, I've built obviously many connections to this Griffin family. And though even though my divorce happened from Griffin about 7 years ago, I kept the name because I loved it. It was easy. My kids have it. And then something has been calling me over the last couple of years to change my name. And I didn't quite understand it until I had a dream. And I'm going to tell you about this dream. I had a dream of my grandmother, whose maiden name was Carlisle, Sylvia Carlisle. And she just appeared in this dream like, hey, what's up? She just had a cameo appearance. It was one of those dreams that was running and not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden she was there and she just smiled and waved at me with her gorgeous red hair and this white gown. And I said, hey, and then I woke up. I hadn't thought about her in years, in years and years. She died long before I was born. But on her deathbed, my mom and her were talking before she died. And this woman, Sylvia Carlisle, said to my mother, Nancy, don't worry, you're going to have your baby girl. And then very soon after that, she passed away. So this is my Irish Sylvia Carlisle grandmother, who was a farmer's wife, could can everything, cook everything, bake pies like you can't believe, the sweetest woman as all stories go. And she foretold my birth on her deathbed. Now, my mom would get a glass of Chardonnay in her at Christmas time and tell this story. And it was always like such a special story for me that somebody on this planet knew I was about to come. And then my mother confided in me when I got older that she didn't believe her grandma. She didn't believe Grandma Carlisle because my mom had 9 miscarriages between my brother and I. Like, I cannot imagine the grief, the hope, loss, the grief, the hope, the loss, the grief that my parents went through during that time. What a difficult, difficult time. And so by the time my Sylvia Carlisle says this to my mom, she's kind of like, yeah, that's not going to happen, lady, but you're sweet and I love you and I know you're dying, so it's cool. So she kind of placated my grandmother and I'll be damned if who didn't show up, not a year later. So Sylvia Carlisle is someone very special to me. She sort of knew me before I was born. She gave my mom hope again, even when my mom didn't want to hope, and my dad. And so I am choosing now to bring my feminine lineage. I have my father's lineage in the Shope. And these are the tea leaf readers, the spiritualists who have seances. I mean, these are people that I identified with much easier than the English side of the English-Irish side of my family. And yet there's this magic that's in the lineage of Carlisle. And I am reclaiming that as well, this magic of the feminine of my lineage. And so now they're balanced and they're here. And there are possibilities for Natalie Carlisle that I can only dream of because she's standing on the foundation of Shope, of the mother and father who made her. And it's in these ways that I honor my ancestors now who have all passed on. And my hope is to do them justice, to live in a way that their wildest dreams cannot even imagine, to live for the women in my lineage who had dreams in their heart that the world of the time wasn't ready for. The world of women at the time when they were coming of age, the world was not ready for wild women. But that has changed. And so I am honored to take on this name of Natalie Shope Carlisle and carry the joy and power of my ancestors forward in a brand new way. This is the power of names, the power of names. And I encourage you to use names not only to reclaim hidden parts of yourself, but also the things around you in life that you want to develop a more intimate relationship with. And finally, you can use names to tame those wild emotions and live with more grace. So thank you for tuning in to the Naughty Shaman podcast. It has been my pleasure and honor. So coming at you live from Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.